Okay, praise God. So it's another good morning that God has given us to listen to His Word again together. And we have been understanding the grace of God and understanding this wisdom of God that God gives us, that He strengthens. You know, when we think of grace, we think of it in two aspects. One, we think of grace as the mercy of God. But then number two, we think of grace, as the divine enablement of God. And this can be either in giftings, it can be in strength, it can be in direction, it can be in unique, you know, anointings that God gives us. But basically, one side of grace is the mercy of God. When you think of the throne of grace, that means you're coming to the throne of mercy or the throne of unmerited favor, where it is not of our efforts, not of our ability, but God showing His mercy. And there's someone who summarized grace really as God's riches at Christ's expense. That means if you use the acronym of grace, it's God's riches at Christ's expense. That means that God pours out His boundless riches for us. And all this is through the price that Christ paid. And because Christ paid it all, then we are able to access. And you know, we've also been talking about this better and new covenant, a new covenant that is made on better promises, you know. So it's a better covenant that is made on better promises. And this is something, by the grace of God, we shall look at over the weekend on Friday. But then just to come back to where we are, looking at the grace of God as strength, as enablement, as ability, as divine enablement of God, and also the mercy and merited favor of God, I just wanted us to just focus on this wisdom of God, where He says He gives power to the weak. He gives power to the weak. And this is really one of the most interesting or paradoxes of Christianity, in that you will find that the greatest people that God uses are actually the weakest. And you'd find that someone who you would on the outside looks very weak, but yet on the inside, or when he demonstrates the power of God, then you see that there is something, or there is someone that is greater, that is working in him, that he has this treasure in earthen vessels to show that the excellency of the power is not of him, but of Christ, but of God. And this is just a mystery of God, that he hides power, he hides treasure, he hides the excellency of the power in earthen vessels. And what are earthen vessels? Earthen vessels are weak vessels. Earthen vessels are vessels that have physical infirmity on the outside. When you look at them on the outside, they might not look it. You know, they might not look it. And you can see, this is something that they used to say of Paul. They used to say that this Paul, who is weighty in his letters, he is strong in his letters, but of his appearance and of his speech, they amount to nothing. You know, that he was considered as one that was very weak and feeble when he spoke before people. And you can picture this short man, bald-headed man, who is weak, feeble for all his fastings, for all his weaknesses. And then beyond that, even when he preached the Galatians churches, the Bible tells us that he had an infirmity, a physical infirmity in his eyes. And these are some of the things that we see, that he was preaching to them with weak eyes, or with eyes that have disease. You can imagine that this is, and the Bible says that when I preach to you, and maybe we can read that, and let's just go there so that we can start to see this giving power to the weak, and we'll link that eventually with Isaiah 40. Yeah, so if we go to Galatians chapter Yeah, just okay, just a second. I noted it somewhere. Okay, Galatians chapter 4, and we're going to read from verse 12. Galatians chapter 4, and we're going to read from verse 12. And the Bible says, "Brethren, I urge you to become like me, for I became like you. You have not injured me at all." Verse 13. "You have known that because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at the first." And infirmity here speaks of sickness, physical infirmity or physical weakness. "I preached the gospel to you at the first. And my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus." Verse 15, "What then was the blessing you enjoyed? For I bear you witness that if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" So look at this man. He's telling the Galatian churches, look here, when I preach to you, you can remember that it was out of physical infirmity that I preached to the gospel to you. And he says the trial, which he says, which was in my flesh. And this is something that this is a principle that you'll start to see a lot, a running theme in Paul, where he starts to distinguish the physical man and the spiritual man, or the physical you and the heavenly, or the man from above, or the spiritual you that is born again, that the new creation that is born again in the image and made in the image and likeness of God. And remember, you see, he distinguishes and says, "And my trial, which was in my flesh," or in my body, not that he was in the flesh. You know, someone will say, "Oh no, because he was sinning," and no, he says, "The trial which was in my flesh." So he was going through a trial when he was preaching to the Galatian church. And he says that, "I bear you witness that, but if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me." Now, that's what I was saying. Picture this weak man, this feeble, this maybe short man, maybe with a bald head, then he's having a sickness in his eyes, and he's preaching to these people, to a people he has not met, Galatians, and then he's preaching them, and then as they hear the message, then the Bible says, "They received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus himself." Now, this is now the paradox, or the interesting thing, of where we are saying that how does God hide treasure in earthen or in broken vessels? And from there, we're going to now look and just go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And from there, we are going to link it up and see how he expresses what he did when he cried out to God about his weakness or about his infirmity. And you know, many times we often think of, anyway, I'll get back to that. But I want to read from verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, from verse 1, it says, "It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, how he was caught up into paradise and had inexpressible words, which is, it is not lawful for a man to utter, or it's not permitted for a man to utter. Of such a one I will boast, Yet of myself I will not boast except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth, but I refrain lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. Now, Paul, as I said before, as he starts to understand the mystery of God and what God does in every believer, he now starts to even see that there is a new creature in him. There is a man in him. There is a man from above in him that is made in the image and likeness of God, that is made after the image of Christ. And he even now starts to even separate himself from himself, you know. So when he starts to saying, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, he's actually speaking of himself, but he's not speaking of his physical man, but he's speaking of a spiritual man who gets caught up into paradise. And so he has all these visions. You know, so he has these visions of paradise, and this is where he was caught up. And remember, this was the time when he was taken, when after he had been converted, you know, you remember he had preached a bit in Damascus. Then he went to Arabia, where in Arabia, that is where God separated him, and God started to teach him the gospel that he preaches by revelation, which he says, no one taught me, but I was taught by revelation, and God separated me from my mother's womb. So it is in Arabia that where God starts to reveal all this. And that's where he says, I know a man 14 years ago who was caught up. Now, verse 7, he says, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Now, look at it clearly. It's speaking that he's now referring to himself. He says, because of this great abundance, you can imagine he had an abundance of revelations. It's that tells you that you can, you know, the way the Bible says the secrets of the kingdom are given to you. And then it says, to him that has, more will be added. And to him that does not have, the little that he has will be taken away. And there he's speaking of secrets and revelations. But to him who has, more will be given, and he shall have an abundance. Now, this is where Paul is now showing us that he was not even in the realm of where someone has. He had already now reached to the realm of abundance of revelations. And he says to be exalted. So that means the more you have, the more you search out the mysteries of God, the more you just contemplate, what does this mean? Then God breaks it and gives you something else. And he says, by the abundance of revelations, a thorn in the flesh. So the thorn in the flesh. Now remember, when we say in the flesh, he's referring to his body. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I be exalted without measure. Now the man is saying that, look here, God has given me all these great revelations. But then he wants to keep me humble. And you see, that's what we're saying. When God is teaching us in the school of the Spirit, when he's growing us in salvation, as we are growing in the kingdom, doing his work, then there are things that he does for our good. So he's even saying that this thorn in the flesh, this weakness that came to him, this infirmity that came to him, was coming for his good. Why? It was coming to keep him in check from being exalted, from being proud. And then verse 8 says, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. Can you imagine this man? He is preaching to people. He is not seeing, or he's physically having weakness in his eyes. Beyond that, but he is seeing in the spirit. He is seeing visions. He is seeing revelations. And he's asking God, if I'm seeing all these visions, abundance of revelations, I'm seeing this man who is caught up into paradise, but yet I am preaching to these people and I am weak. I am weak. And then he says, three times I pleaded, God, take this thing away. I know, yes, there are those who will think that he's speaking of persecution, but I will argue why it is not persecution, just from the same scripture. He says, and also it's not about he was struggling with sin. No, it's not that, because that is different. He says, a thorn in the flesh. Now, verse 8, he says, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And what I love is that every time he pleaded with God, God gave him an answer. God did not change his answer. Why? Because it speaks to us of God's timeless nature, in that when you come to God and God has given you something to do, if you go back to him, it will still be the same answer. It will still be the same answer. Verse 9 says, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Now, here, grace, do you think it is mercy? No. Do you think it's unmerited favor? No. But it is power. This is now divine enablement. He says, my power, my grace, my divine enablement is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. That means that God, when he says in Isaiah 40 that he gives power to the weak or to the faint, is now also repeating the same here in the New Testament, that he says God's strength is made perfect in weakness. That means when we are weak, that is when God's strength can be shown. And you can see that now Paul, even in that weakness, that is when now God's strength is being shown in a mighty way. And then he says, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I tell you, when you find that contradictions that are in the flesh, not in the spirit, not in your spirit man, contradictions that are in the flesh, that is when you can say the power of Christ is resting on me. And that's why he says, I will rather boast. I will boast. I will most gladly, I will boast. So Christ, the power of Christ comes to those that are weak, those that have seen their weakness, they have seen their infirmities, but then are dependent on Christ. And then he says, verse 10, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Now, this is where I want you to see, in reproaches, where he's being shamed, in needs, that means he was lacking. So if it's poverty, he speaks of it, in persecutions. So now this argues that it cannot be, the thorn in the flesh cannot be in persecutions. Why? Because he's already talked about infirmities and in infirmities. That's the sickness in his body, in his eyes, in reproaches, in shames, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul discovered that when he sees a weakness in his body, he realizes that Christ wants to strengthen him. And God tells him, my grace is sufficient for you. Isaiah 40, and this is where we shall close. Isaiah 40 verse 29, he says, he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but those who wait, those who cover, those who twist themselves with the Lord, those who hold tightly, those who are joined to the Lord, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Those who tarry shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, if you look at these three aspects, it's just speaking of supernatural. When you wait on the Lord, then you release the supernatural. And what does the supernatural do? It makes you to mount up with wings like an eagle. Yes, there are those that fly, but none fly like an eagle. So you fly and you have the sight of an eagle, then it says you can run. Yes, people run, but it is a supernatural thing to run and not grow tired. Yes, people walk. It is a supernatural thing to walk and not faint. God is saying that He will make you do the natural supernaturally when we wait on Him and depend on His strength. That's why He says, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. I will stop there, and my brothers, you're welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Manuel, for that. Indeed, our weaknesses and could be, I mean, God's strength in our weaknesses that take over the strengths that God has in us. Thanks, and I have no much to add on that. Just go back to study of the verses you've been sharing.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for sharing, brother. What struck me is that God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. So amen to that.
Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Let's pray for strength. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We give you glory. We honor your holy name. I thank you for your people, for your sons that listen to your word, them that are looking unto you for strength, them that have examine themselves in the flesh and have seen how weak they are, have seen the struggles, have seen the buffeting and the thorns, but then they also see in themselves, they see that man, that heavenly man from above, that is the treasure in earthen vessels that you have poured out upon us yourself. You've given us your spirit that indeed that we are made in your image and likeness of the Christ. I thank you that indeed we find strength in you, O God, because you give power to the weak. And Father, I rebuke the works of the evil one. I come against the works of darkness that have hindered your people from progressing, from walking into their inheritance. Every blinding aspect that has blinded them, that has destroyed their purpose, that has hidden them from being established in you, Father, I break them in the name of Jesus. I thank you that, Lord, your hand, your power, your strength continues to be made manifest, and indeed your people shall experience divine strength, divine power. Indeed, them that are weak in the flesh receive strength this morning. I pray even for the works that we need to do, that your hand, your power, your anointing goes ahead of us, strengthen us, and be with us, O God. Remember our family members, keep them, sustain them. Thank you for the body of Christ globally and also in this nation, that you continue to establish it for your glory. We rebuke all those things that hinder your people from running to your presence, and we declare them free. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed day ahead.